Welcome to the SICK Network Podcast, a weekly podcast discussing current and topical issues affecting SICKs across the global diaspora.
Sacrificing SICKs. The Need for an Investigation. The highly anticipated report commissioned by the SICK Federation UK. Written by Phil Miller. Narrated by Sunny Osan. Commission designed and published by the SICK Federation UK. Chapter 11. Paratrooper Training, Armoured Vehicles and Night Vision Technology After Amritsar Massacre. In late July 1984, the Indian Army asked Britain about para-operations, presumably a reference to paratrooper training. The Indian Chief of Army Staff was scheduled to discuss para-operations with General Howlett in September. The British High Commission tried to establish which training detachments might be of interest to the Indian Army in this regard. Any further correspondence about this issue is missing from the file. The Indian Army's Parachute Regiment includes a Special Forces Para Unit which specialises in counter-insurgency and was involved in Operation Blue Star, even clearing wells around the holy site with divers. By August 1984, the British High Commission had received firm interest from Indian paramilitary forces in the supply of armoured vehicles, either for 20 of the Saxons or AMAC variety. It is not clear if the sales went ahead, but even after the Amritsar massacre, the Foreign Office remained eager to supply India with internal security equipment. John Ramsden, then at the South Asia Department, summarised the debate as follows. Begin quote. We would have to look very carefully at any application to export the vehicles to these countries on a larger scale, but would not rule out agreeing to this. Applications for export to Syria and Chile have already been turned down. The main criterion for deciding applications is whether the vehicles might be used for internal repression. Both AMAC and Saxon are formidable vehicles. They have features, example, AMAC's electric shock capability and Saxon's machine gun cupola, which are likely to attract particular public concern. This is the first time that we have been asked to approve the export of these vehicles in significant numbers and for operational deployment as opposed to promotional purposes. A decision to approve the application would almost certainly excite controversy here, particularly against the background of the present troubles in Punjab and Kashmir. To help us evaluate this application, grateful for your comments on the likely use the Indians would make fit the vehicles. We need to bear in mind the possibility of a strong reaction from sections of the Indian community here, e.g. Sikhs, if the vehicles were to be deployed against their people in India. We also need to evaluate the likely Indian reaction if the application is turned down. End quote. The potential Saxon sale was worth £2 million, and the AMAC deal some £4.5 million. Specification photos of the AMAC detail that it had 16 grenade launchers, 18 gun ports, a 7,000-volt electrical charge running through the exterior, high-pressure water cannon, and an infrared camera. It was not promoted for use in Britain. India's paramilitary forces had become interested in the AMAC following a demonstration given in sidelines of BAEE, the British Army Equipment Exhibition, in June 1984. The FCO's Defence Department wanted to refuse supply of this equipment to India, strongly advising not to approve applications for items of equipment which may be used for internal repression. These vehicles come into this category. However, another official scribbled in the margin that India is a democracy and, the acts of individuals apart, internal repression is not government policy. The availability of these vehicles would enable the security authorities to raise the threshold when the use of force becomes necessary. Not all demonstrations in India are political. There are all too frequent bloody communal riots when the security forces have a peacekeeping role to fulfill. These vehicles would facilitate their work. I recommend that we approve supply. The portrayal of India's paramilitary forces as neutral parties in situations of intercommunal violence is not substantiated by other FCO briefing for the Foreign Secretary Jeffrey just a month earlier, where it was acknowledged that outside paramilitary forces drafted into Punjab tended to be pro-Hindu. having considered the arguments, Howe was in favour of supplying the Saxon, noting that no applications had been refused in the past, with Nigeria receiving 75 of the armoured vehicles. Howe told British diplomats in Dili that, begin quote, "The main criterion in considering such applications is whether the vehicles might be used for internal repression, particularly where the country concerned has a bad human rights record. India hardly falls into such a category, but we should need to be sure of our ground before agreeing to the export of AMAC. Both AMAC and Saxon are formidable vehicles, the former particularly so given its electric shock capability. An application for Saxon would be more difficult to reject since it has already been exported in large numbers to other countries." He added, "We also need to evaluate the likely GOI reaction if either application is turned down, and the implications this might have for other defence sales prospects." End quote. Later that year, the Foreign Office made no objection to the sale of thermal imaging equipment to India and Sri Lanka, as fitted to Puma helicopters in Northern Ireland. Clearly, this equipment would be useful for dealing with insurgency situations. The UK government's willingness to train and equip India's counter-insurgency forces in the aftermath of the Amritsar massacre means that the Haywood Review's focus on the single event of Operation Blue Star is inadequate. The attack marked the start of a decade-long armed conflict throughout which the Indian state, Britain's ally, perpetrated human rights abuses against Sikhs. The UN Special Rapporteur on the Promotion of Truth criticised the British government in November 2016 for adopting such an event-based approach to the Troubles. He warned that the conflict in Northern Ireland was not simply the aggregate of isolated events. He recommended that the structural and systemic dimensions of violence and rights violations and abuses should be examined. A comprehensive understanding of the past requires instruments that do not treat it merely as a series of unconnected events. This UN advice should also be heeded when investigating Britain's involvement in India's repression of Sikhs.
Welcome to the Sikh Network Podcast, a weekly podcast discussing current and topical issues affecting Sikhs across the global diaspora.